taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
In Federalist Papers number 45, James Madison pointed out the powers delegated to the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. Yet today it seems the government out of Washington, D.C. claims power that their powers are numerous and indefinite, and it's the states who have limited powers. Now, recent history has shown that by allowing those in Washington, D.C. numerous and indefinite powers has led to some truly despotic consequences. Today, I want to welcome George McClellan. He is a California native who was in the regular Army he's a regular Army veteran in the post-Korean War tour. His post-Army career included 43 years in law enforcement, including the California Highway Patrol and the U.S. Naval Investigative Service, now known as NCIS. Now, I want to take this time to discuss a couple articles, George, that you've recently published on America Out Loud. But first, welcome to the Constitution Study. Would you take a moment to kind of give my audience a bit of understanding of who you are?
Well, thank you very much. I'm an old guy. I've had my 43 years in law enforcement, and I live quietly with my wife and dog and cat up in the Georgia Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, enjoying retirement, but I can't be retired. So I sit and write these from my experiences. I write my thoughts out on these little articles that go to Malcolm Out Loud and otherwise, and for people like you to call me and discuss it.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, there's a couple articles I want to discuss. I want to start off with this one you called it got titled The Smoldering Smell of Marxism in America. And it starts out with this idea that America is in a self-made political crisis that leads to an economic crisis, a social crisis, and in many cases leads us down a very dangerous and destructive path. Where are you seeing I know where I see this stuff, but where are you seeing these crises build?
Where do I see them build?
Yeah, you know, where you say that's happening, where are you seeing it?
Well, when they become unconstitutional. For example, right now we're experiencing the Roe versus Wade removal from the law because it is unconstitutional, and this new court has finally decided that that's exactly the case. They're really just commenting on a Texas law, I believe, or is it Missouri, Mississippi? But it has fired up. It is the match that has let the left to go crazy, and these people have already burned down several cities, rioted in the streets. The Antifas and the Black Lives Matter, which I refer to as the burn, loot, and murder mob, they're out there waiting to start their work all over again. That may be the Roe versus Wade may be the critical heat that starts this revolution. But us Americans, many of us Americans, we're not going to take it anymore. Us older ones, anyway. That those not tainted by public education and higher education that the Marxists have infiltrated as professors and administrators, we're in trouble. We're definitely in trouble. It's of our own making.
You know, I've often referred to today, our current times, as America's Cultural Revolution, analogizing it to Mao's Cultural Revolution in China. But you bring up an interesting, we've seen this before, in Russia in 1917, and that led to some, like I said, some really nasty stuff.
Well, you have to 1917, the World War One was over. The peasants who fought in World War One didn't like it, and along comes this Vladimir Lenin with his little book by Karl Marx and Engels. talking about the new society, the new world order, the communist, the communal order, and they really didn't believe that it was applicable to agrarian society. They thought England would be their best target, and here the Russians went for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, and yeah.
The October Revolution of 1917. It was brutal.
Oh yeah,
it was brutal.
And it led not to, it wasn't just a brutal revolution. It was decades of brutalities. You talk about arrest without trial, gulag, summary executions, mass death by starvation. These are just some of the outcomes of that Marxist idea, the Marxist mind worldview that says if we just stick everybody together and put the right people in charge, everything suddenly becomes utopia. It just never actually shows up.
Well, that's a fact. Here's an interesting little fact. It is rarely mentioned, but it's out there if you look for it. There was a time Lenin was still in charge. It was before Stalin, when his communist program was failing, and he could not afford to let it fail. What did he turn to get the Russian people back on his side? He turned to capitalism. And for a year, capitalism reinvigorated his dream of communism. And when he got everything back where he wanted it and the people were happy, then he cut them right off. And that's when the arrest started after that.
It's kind of like, was it Margaret Thatcher who said the problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money?
Yeah, it was. I have met Maggie, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so you see America in following in the exact same footsteps, primarily in what is it's the Democratic Party. I almost say euphemistically because if you look at the way the parties run, it's hardly democratic. But then again, if you in a true democracy, it's mob rule anyway. So the people with the most influence get to run whatever they want. So maybe it's not as euphemistic as I thought. But you're seeing these same things, this same mindset being not simply adopted. It's being promoted. And as you mentioned, it's being lauded in our education system.
Our education system. When I got out of the Army in 64, I went on the California Highway Patrol. And in my first year, I experienced the Watts Riot and then later the free speech movement at Berkeley. Mario Savio was the fellow in charge of that, a ne'er-do-well bartender, but he just wanted his whole shtick was to be able to speak and use the language that he wanted to use, which was generally nasty language that we don't normally talk with, or didn't normally talk with. He succeeded in that, although a lot of those students in Berkeley got their heads cracked. I remember that very well. But those people are the ones who are teaching our children now. We let them into the education system without vetting them. And now they're professors, they're administrators, and they're teaching this Marxism to our children and our college-age kids.
And it's interesting. We were talking before we started recording. I mentioned that as a child in fifth grade, my mother volunteered in the classroom as a teacher's assistant. She was involved in my education. She was involved in my sister's education. Now we're to the stage where not only do we take children at the age of five and hand them over to government to educate them for us, parents have not only backed off from being involved in their children's education, now schools are actually intentionally isolating parents from from their students' education. It's almost like the students don't belong to the parents anymore. They belong to the state.
That's true. And to correct that, we need to get leftists out of the school boards.
So if you see this drive towards Marxism, and again, someone of your age, someone of my age, we've seen Marxism. We've seen the effects of Marxism. When we talk about Marxism, we have a specific thing we remember. But so many people, this has been washed from our history. Can you explain what Marxism is and in many ways why it's driven to such a to cause such chaos and damage in any society where it's adopted?
Marxism is collectivism. Let's do everything together, not as individuals. Right there, that's contrary to our Constitution. People like to claim people on the right, in other words, non-Marxists, as being fascist, when that's not right either, because fascism is just another sort of Marxism or socialism. They're both socialism, but one of them allows fascism, like Hitler had, allows people to own their stores, own their factories. You just produce what we want you to produce, airplanes, tanks, and boats. We'll pay you for it. Communism or Marxism says the state will produce all that stuff. You work for us, and we will pay you according to your needs, and you will give us according to your ability, and everybody will be happy. They're both socialism, and America is not a socialist country. It wasn't. It's slowly getting there now, because we are now, there's not a person in America today who is not dependent in some way on a check from the federal government. And that includes me. I get my retirement check and my little Social Security check. But why? There we are. It's the government has got us wound up.
You know, it reminds me of a little bit of older pop culture, but the line, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. The sad part is when it's put into practice, it never works. I don't mean it sometimes. It never has worked when you put the collective ideas, because although in theory it sounds wonderful, I mean, you know, we'll just pool all of our resources and everybody be taken care of. And they tried it when the Pilgrims first showed up in Plymouth, what is now Massachusetts. They pulled all their resources and they starved to death. And it wasn't until they said, "Okay, everybody gets a plot of land and you feed yourself," that they began to thrive. But the interesting thing, you know, you talked about BLM and people were going, the leader of BLM is buying multi-million dollar homes. I thought she was a Marxist. She is.
Because, no, she's a thief.
The reason I say that is there's not a Marxist nation I've ever seen that doesn't have a ruling class that is extraordinarily rich while the vast majority are extraordinarily poor.
Yes, but to get rich, you got to steal quietly. She didn't steal quietly. And her last several years will be in a prison, not a great house. I'm not worried about those people. Those people can be controlled. And the leftists know it, so they use them as soldiers in their war against us. They've abandoned Western thinking, Western philosophy. They equate everything to the thinking of dead old white men, philosophers from as far back as the Greek era, telling people how to live or providing a roadmap to prosperity or how to live civilly with one another. That's all we want. We want to be left alone as people. And we don't want a government coming in here telling us what to do when it doesn't make any sense, like the recent COVID mandates for masks and vaccines and all that nonsense, when even 3 years later now they're proven wrong. And they still hang on to those ideas. It's shocking. I mean, there are so many examples that can be meted out. I just talking with you now, these other ideas are starting to pour out. And I'll probably get in the way of our useful conversation. But, you know, we have a philosophy of living, a Western philosophy that has held us in good stead for all these centuries. And by God, a bunch of pinheads are not going to ruin it.
You know, to me, it's always in the proof of the pudding. How many people who are avowed Marxists live as capitalists. Marxism is great for everybody else, but for the ruling elite, the special people, they want their capitalism. They want their comfy homes and their good jobs and their lots of money. You know, the Marxists enter government as paupers and they exit as millionaires. But everybody else, you just give up everything you want, just as long as we get our own.
Yep, Joe Biden's a good example of that. How can he be in Congress for 40 years and come out almost a millionaire? Now, Bush went in as a billionaire. Trump went in as a billionaire. And he proudly proclaimed it. And he was a successful guy. And in their 4 years, as hard as they tried, they never found anything against him. Anything. Even this latest scandal, I say scandal, where the New York State wanted to get his tax records, they had to abandon that case too because he's clean as Whistler's mother. And Biden is not. Biden is a cheapskate. He's a crook.
Yeah, well, I have to take a break. Before I do, what I want to do is after the break, I want to talk about another article you did, which gives us an idea of how we can fix this mess. But before I jump out of the break, I want to remind my listeners that they can find the Constitution Study 5 days a week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media browser or on apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com. You'll find all the links there. Also, if you head over to HealthyCell.com, you know, if you're going to live a happy life, you got to have a decent immune system. If your body can't protect itself, nothing else will. Well, Healthy Cell has their Immune Super Boost. It is a travel-ready gel pack that combines a dozen immune supplements designed to help keep you healthy, whether you're working from home, in an office, on a job site, or on the road. As an America Out Loud listener, you'll get 20% off your first order. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, go to HealthyCell.com, try any of their products. When you check out, use the code OUTLOUD, and they'll give you 20% off your first order.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans, to rejoin the Constitution Study. I have the pleasure of speaking with Jordan McClellan, and we spent the first segment talking about how Marxism is overrunning this country, and we're letting it happen. So this segment, I want to talk a bit about what we can do to fix it. Now, you wrote another article called Correcting America's Course Back to the Constitutional Rule of Law. You and I both agree we're headed the wrong direction, like a super tanker heading for disaster. We've got to turn, but like any other large entity, we don't turn fast. So we got to start making these adjustments. When you talk about turning course back to the constitutional rule of law, what are you thinking about?
Well, if you want to turn fast, and you thought turning fast would solve the problem, that would mean vigilantism. And we can't have that. We still have to obey the rule of law if we intend to succeed in the end. So we've got to move slowly. We've got to watch our P's and Q's. Everything we do has to be within the bounds of the what's allowed by the Constitution. But we still have these politicians willing to get rich, being professional politicians, who run against the grain of the Constitution so they can continue the flow of money. The flow of money from where? From lobbyists. Lobbyism has to be controlled, not eliminated. Anybody needs to be able to speak up for their side. But these guys with a lot of money get the biggest platform, and people like you and me, we don't. So, but we can. We can do things. We have organizations, other organizations out here who do work on our behalf. Judicial Watch, for example, is a good one. So anyway, we got to do it. We got to be careful. Right now, because of Nancy Pelosi in her January 6th commission, which is all Democrats, and the two Republicans might as well be Democrats, that's a kangaroo court, and they're trying to nail constitutional Americans, Trump MAGA supporters, hang around our necks, the albatross of domestic terrorism. And that's our first problem. We're not domestic terrorists. They are.
You know,
so we've got to move that from the program.
You know, again, being a constitutional scholar, studying it as well as I do, there's a point that I often gets missed, and that is Congress is the legislative branch. Their job is to write the law. It is the executive branch that actually does the investigations and the judicial branch that actually does the trial. But here you have all three in one perfectly formed, politically partisan package. They're acting as in many cases, judge, jury, and executioner in something they're not legally authorized to do. The Constitution doesn't allow for Congress to investigate past crimes. They can investigate, get information to write up new laws, but that's not what they're doing. They are trying, they're effectively put together a criminal investigation by political drumhead. And that to me is extremely dangerous, and not simply from a partisan standpoint, but just from a rule of law standpoint. If a partisan actors get to decide which laws they're going to enforce and which aren't, so where is your freedom?
Well, freedom, it's the Constitution gives us protections. It tells the government specifically what it cannot do. And what it cannot do is left for the states. And so that doesn't work for a Marxist society. So they want to get rid of it. And how do they get rid of it? Well, they got voted out, but they just ignored.
Right. So when the Constitution says that it's the president whose job is to faithfully execute the laws, not Congress, the president. And you have a Congress that says, no, we're going to execute the laws. We're going to investigate this. You know, I know a lot of people, including people that would consider themselves constitutionalists, conservatives, that are all for Congress investigating, but isn't that the role of the president? And what happens when that tension that's supposed to be between the branches of government, when those tensions break down and they, you know, again, you have Congress acting illegally, you have the president acting illegally. Isn't it back up to the American people to protect our own freedom? And because if we expect somebody else to do it, we are at the whim of their actions?
Well, and that's the vice that we're in. How are we going to do it? Right now, Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, thinks that she's the number third in line to the presidency. She really believes that she has the right to investigate people. So she's trying to make, you know, they've changed that. Pelosi just changed the Patriot Act, not to include white Americans and Trump supporters as domestic terrorists, not the Muslims who knocked the buildings down in New York City on 9/11. That's what they're doing, and that shouldn't be allowed. And if, when they have when they take these issues to a federal judge, it's a federal judge they expect will vote for them, not against them. Trump scared the hell out of them when he appointed three conservatives to the Supreme Court. They couldn't abide that. They're in trouble. We're in trouble. Those are things that are going to happen in our near future, and it could be a bloodbath.
And I mean, that's what happens when we allowed Washington, D.C. to suddenly accumulate these numerous and indefinite powers that belong to the states. And from my reading of the Constitution, the proper solution is actually for the states to start pushing back and saying, no, the Constitution doesn't authorize that. We did not delegate to you that power. What you're doing is not only unethical and unconstitutional, it's criminal. And start really pushing back on what the federal government is doing in stealing state power.
Well, the state power has a long arm. And if you have a corrupted FBI, for example, and they'll come out and arrest parents complaining about CRT in the school boards, then there is the dystopian Soviet state right in our midst. They haven't shot anybody, but there's a lot of people languishing in the D.C. jail right now on misdemeanors who were not allowed their habeas corpus or rights of bail.
Well, interesting. So, I just wrote an article because the first January 6th person actually petitioned for a writ of habeas. The first one finally petitioned for a writ of habeas corpus, and I'm watching the case to see, will it be granted, A, and then B, will Biden's Department of Justice actually submit to it, or will they, I forget the general's name under Lincoln, say, sorry, my orders are no, and again, push us further down this dictatorial, tyrannical mess of you only have the rights that those in power say you have.
Well, now you're quoting Trotsky. The law is what we say it is.
But isn't that how they're acting?
Well, of course it is. That's why I write my articles, to try to alert people to this. That's why you do your radio show, to try to alert people about what this is all about, what's happening out there. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they might think that they're not communists using the term, but they are. They want everything communal, and it never works. It cannot work. People are independent. They're individuals. And, of course, we have the one word we have not mentioned here, you or I, is the fact that our rights are granted to us by God, and they cannot abide that.
True. Yeah, they can't stand the fact that there's somebody more important than they are, some authority over them. And the other important part is, you know, the Declaration of Independence say that we create governments to protect our rights. It's a common misconception that government there is to protect us. No, we create governments to protect our rights so that we can protect ourselves.
Well said. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And you know, that they only have the just powers that we delegate to them. And this is that part of that education. You know, John Jay said that every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach a rising generation to be free. Why? He said, by knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. By not studying the Constitution, you don't even teach the Constitution in law school anymore. So is it any surprise that we watch our rights being infringed upon daily, and most people think that's normal? That when we think something is wrong, we have no concept of how do we defend our rights? How do we assert our rights and do so lawfully, legally? We're stuck. And I agree. I think education is the key. The question I guess I have for you is, if the educational system is controlled by the Marxists, how do we educate people to return to that constitutional rule of law?
Oh, short of running them out or firing them, which would mean lots of court time. Logically, you just have to run them off, but fire them or remove their tenure. And that's the weak point. Who gives them tenure and why? Why are these people allowed to keep jobs forever? Like the courts do, like judges do. I mean, tenure should be relooked at, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of tenure, as I understand it, was so that an experienced professor could ask the difficult question without fear of being fired. And you're right, it's been turned into a shield to get away with just about anything. My focus is, if we're going to educate, then we really should be doing it at the grassroots level, in small groups, so that people are educated. Oh, now I see. I see what the school board is doing. It's one of the, to me, one of the silver linings of COVID has been people have started to see what the educational system has been doing. We need to spend some time. We need to help educate the people to understand what can we do. Now that we know there's a problem, we really need to come up with, and here's the start of the solution.
Well, we got to start somewhere. We better do it quick.
Yeah, this much we agree with. That's for sure. It's interesting in reading your article. You make the point at one point you say, so long as Democrats and deep state Republicans believe they run the show, nothing will change. It reminded me a quote from Washington's farewell address where he, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, the dissension, the animosity normal to party dissension is its own frightful despotism.
And yes.
You know, I think we are seeing this out. It has become such a everything's become such a political partisan question that can you call this anything but despotism when, if my guy does it, it's fine. If your guy does it, it's treason.
That's despotism defined precisely when government can control private enterprise like Twitter, for example, social media platforms to propagandize the message and deny other people to listen to other messages, then that's despotism. And that's exactly what we're at. And we cannot rely on people like Donald Trump or Elon Musk as heroes to come in and save the day. They're tried. Trump tried. I hope he has another go. Elon Musk is fighting the good fight because he understands free speech and the ability to say what you want is important to America. But I don't know how far they can go before they get smashed down again. We just have to be alert all the time.
It's the nail that sticks up that gets hammered, which is why I say we need to focus locally. I've been saying this now for about 2 years that the solution doesn't come out of Washington. It doesn't even come out of our state houses. It comes out of our counties, having sheriffs that understand they are the chief law enforcement officer of the county. They are hired by the people. They took an oath to support the Constitution of their state and of the United States. And not only having them men and women that will do that, but having people that will support them when they do. Because if I change my county and you change your county, and we our neighbors change their county, we start changing the states. And we start changing the states, then they can change Washington. Washington, D.C. would take care of itself once the states understand their role in a constitutional republic like we have here today.
Well, very, very well said. Exactly right. Yeah, I think I wrote that the Constitution must scrupulously be followed, especially by the judiciary, because it's not for judges to make laws. It's for them to observe and rule on constitutionality of the issues that come before them. And they take oaths. Like I took an oath in the Army and on the Highway Patrol and NIS and other places. They take an oath that upon their confirmation, they should do that with the understanding that their failure to follow judicial protocols or disobey the law would end in their termination. So term limits for judges are needed. And I think the Supreme Court should be included in that.
Well, if there's one group that needs a reading comprehension class, to my opinion, it's the judge of the Supreme Court. George, thank you for your time. Before we go, though, can you take a minute or two and let my audience know where they can find more of your stuff and where they can get in contact with you if they have any things they'd like to talk to you about?
Well, I do have a email address, and it's at the bottom of the my articles on AmericaOutloud.com.
Excellent. So yeah, just go to AmericaOutloud.com. I believe you'll find George under our team. You'll find George McClellan. I will put links to these two articles in the show notes when this episode goes to the website, generally a couple days after you hear it on the radio. George, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your insight. Thank you for your service, both in the military and in civilian life. I'm glad you could join me today. And for all you everyday Americans, I hope you learned something from what we've been talking about. I will be back after this short break, but I want to remind you, yes, not only do these shows go to podcast, you can listen to them on Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart Podcast, Pandora, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Do me a favor, though. Leave me a rating, leave me a subscription, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps others find the Constitution Study and this great information like we've been listening so far today.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
You've been in that situation. The person next to you is sniffling, or worse yet, coughing. Flu, cold, and coronaviruses are everywhere. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to reduce these threats with an invisible mask as an additional layer of protection? Sold by hundreds of pharmacists and medical doctors, our American-made povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray, Cofix RX, lasts for hours deactivating viruses and germs while protecting you from airborne pathogens that make us sick. America Out Loud listeners get 20% off. Use Cofix RX while in large groups, while traveling, or for any other type of high-risk situation as an additional layer of protection to help reduce your likelihood of catching a cold, the flu, or SARS-CoV-2 viruses. Right now, America Out Loud listeners get 20% off of all orders. Click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I hope you enjoyed those first two segments. It was great to talk with George McClellan, man of experience who's served his country, and I think has a very insightful view on our current state and where we're going and what we can do about it. But I want to come back to the idea I started with, and that is why our founders wanted a federal government that had limited and defined powers. Why was that so important to them? And all you have to do is look today. How much of your life is run and regulated out of Washington, D.C.? How much of your life are you allowed to live at the behest, at the sufferance of Washington, D.C.? Take, for example, we created the federal government. We the people, do ordain and establish constitutions from the preamble. The states ratified a constitution. The 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Yet here we have reports of the Biden administration, they're trying to find a back door to implement the Green New Deal. They want to regulate home appliances, building standards, fuel economy, even infrastructure projects. But if you look at the Constitution of the United States, almost nothing of that has to do is a power delegated to the United States. They're not allowed to regulate home appliances. They can regulate interstate commerce, but not the products themselves. They have nothing about building standards except on federal land. They're not authorized to regulate fuel or the economy or infrastructure. Yet not only is the federal government doing this, the current administration, and by the way, in no way, shape, or form alone, it's not unique to Biden, it's not even unique to Democratic administrations. They are trying to regulate everything. If they can't get it through Congress, they'll simply do it through the executive branch. You remember when Obama said he's got a pen and a phone and he can do whatever he wants? This is what happens when we let a federal government grow beyond its britches. Now it simply says, if I can regulate everything. We're dealing today with a lot of issues around the supply chain disruption. This has been going on for quite a while. By the way, the supply chain disruptions is not, right? Let me say that is not initially Biden's fault, but Biden has done everything he seems possible to make it worse. See, the problem with the supply chains came not simply from our policy. It's the fact that when this bug showed up, people panicked. Governments decided the proper thing to do was to lock everybody down. And now, if you look at some of the data, that was exactly the worst thing we could have done. But Paul, we had to do that to keep people from getting sick, except science says otherwise. The states and the cities with the strictest lockdown requirements also have the highest infection rates and the highest death rates. Is that a correlation or a causation? That could be debated whether or not it's cause is causative, but it certainly is correlated. We look at the at inflation, and everyone's pointing their fingers here, there. Part of the reason we have inflation, a significant part of the reason we have inflation, is we've got a boatload of money in the economy and not enough resources to, not enough products and services to suck it all up. So you have a federal government that printed trillions with a T, trillions of dollars in order to backstop the cities and states that had locked their people down like communist China. And now you've got all this money and you've got all the supply chain because all the businesses, not only is it the businesses that were shut down, but it's the businesses that fed the businesses. In other words, a car manufacturer has to have equipment. They have to have parts. Where do those parts come from? The days of a car manufacturer making all the parts in-house are long gone. So you have a lot of these parts, and a lot of these parts were made overseas. So when you lock down the ports to prevent people from getting shipping stuff in, all of these came from government policies. Not all of them were federal policies, but many of them were. Now we have everything from rising inflation, terrible gas prices, because again, the president acting like a dictator in chief is simply deciding, no, we're not going to drill oil here. No, we're not going to build a pipeline because I don't want it. Forget the rule of law. Forget the Constitution. Forget the will of the people. I don't like it. It's not a my policy. We're suffering the consequences. And now we're seeing that we may actually have hungry and starving babies because of, again, in large part, government policies, from the fact that the days of buying baby formula are well in my past. A lot of it comes overseas. There was two formula plants that were shut down, making things worse. There's a reason why so much power was left to the states. See, if one state made a mistake, like, say, California and New York, and they locked themselves down, if the rest of the country, the other 48 states, would have a minimal impact on them, and they could have gone along. And then when New York and California realized that we had made a mistake, well, then the other states could have picked up the slack. So when California says, okay, we're going to release our mandates, we need products, well, they'd be manufactured in the other 48 states. when California and New York locked down. Other states could have opened ports that would allow shipping so that the entire nation didn't have a supply chain issue. You see, a lot of people are looking at this, and they're rightly blaming it on policies. But the biggest reason that these policies have such an impact is because we have allowed, let me say it again, we have allowed the federal government to exercise illegal, unconstitutional powers without any challenge. There's a reason why I say the 16th and 17th Amendment destroyed the Republic. The 16th Amendment, the federal income tax, was the first time the federal government was allowed to reach into the individual pockets of the people for money, for tax money, cutting out the states. The states no longer have the power of the purse to rein in the federal government. And the 17th Amendment, the popular election of U.S. senators, meant that the states no longer have a say in federal legislation. And we watched as the powers that are state powers have been hoovered up into the federal government. When I was researching my book, I found a website that lists all of the departments and agencies in the federal government. And once I weeded out the duplicates and stuff like that, I went through and I looked, and 90% of the federal agencies have no constitutional authority. That they're not exercising any power delegated to the United States. Now, again, if you learn a little bit of history, Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Papers number 78 and the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison both said that an act of Congress contrary to the Constitution is void. That means those acts of Congress that created the 90% of agencies that are not exercising powers delegated to the United States, those legislative acts are void. They're empty. They're meaningless. They should be ignored. But they're not. They're not in part because, well, the states, having lost their voice, have also lost their spine. I find it very interesting that not only does that list of federal departments and agency list all 50 states as departments of the federal government, but all 50 states act as vassals of the federal government. This is a large reason why this country doesn't work. It is not that the Constitution has failed. It's been ignored. And we have allowed governments to run amok. A perfect example of this. Now, how many of you have been cheering on Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter? Well, apparently there are now two federal agencies investigating Musk's purchase of Twitter. Actually, no, that's three agencies. You got the Federal Communications Commission, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Trade Commission are all looking into Musk's purchase of Twitter. Now, according to the Open Markets Institute, which, by the way, is a George Soros-backed think tank, they released a statement that says it believes the deal poses a number of immediate and direct threats to American democracy and free speech. Well, yeah. You see, the threat to American democracy is America's not a democracy. We're a republic. They keep trying to turn us into a democracy, to mob rule. Just take a look at what's been going on with the leak of the Roe v. Wade draft opinion. So America is not a democracy. It's not a threat to our democracy because it doesn't change how we govern ourselves. And as for a threat to free speech, only from the standpoint of there may actually be allowed. What the threat is not to free speech, it's to the Marxist monopoly on free speech. Again, I've been booted from Facebook. I've had content removed from YouTube and from LinkedIn. So far, Twitter has left me alone. I haven't gotten anything from Twitter. Maybe I'm too small for it. I don't know. But the very idea that they're saying this is a challenge to free speech, the very reason Elon Musk said he is doing this is because Twitter is not a free speech platform. Right? Let me reinforce that. That's not just what he's saying. Twitter is not a free speech platform. How do I know? They curate the content. They scan and decide what they are and are not going to publish. It is not a free speech platform. By the way, neither is YouTube, Facebook, and in fact, for the most part, not any social media. Now, some may be more pro-free speech than others, but ultimately, there is every platform has some line they will not cross, some content they will not allow on their platform. If that line is, well, it violates the law, I have no problem with that. If these platforms don't want to allow child pornography on their platform, I have no problem with that. If they want to take down rants of incitement to violence, true incitement to violence, not someone getting their feelings hurt. The recent shooting that was live streamed. If they want to take that down, those are crimes. I don't have a problem with it. Freedom of speech has a limit of when it harms somebody else, when it actually infringes on a legitimate right of somebody else. But the very idea that these groups, this group which has used platforms like Twitter to promote their agenda, to silence the free speech of others, is now worried about free speech? No, they're not interested in free speech. And why is the federal government regulating this? Isn't there this thing called the First Amendment that says Congress shall make no law infringing the freedom of speech? So if Congress is going to come in and tell Elon Musk what he can do with Twitter, isn't that an infringement on freedom of speech? There's a reason why the federal government is supposed to be small, why its power is supposed to be finite, primarily focused on external affairs, as Madison said in Federalist 45. But the reason it's been allowed to grow is because our states and most of our population have become dependent on the bribes coming out of Washington, D.C. No, I didn't misspeak. Bribery. Alexis de Tocqueville said that America will exist until Congress figures out it can bribe the American people with their own money. Congress learned that lesson decades ago. How many Americans do not get a check from the federal government? And I don't mean just do not get an earned check from the federal government. I'm not talking about, if you served in the military and you're getting a military pension. I don't count that. You served, you earned a pension. I'm talking Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, all of the welfare programs. I'm talking about grants for education, for research, for infrastructure, for building projects, for other programs, none of which are authorized by the Constitution. So the federal government is illegally taxing you because there's not a Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says that Congress can only tax for three things: to pay the debts, provided for the common defense and the general welfare of the United States. Capital U, capital S, proper noun. Exact same subject as the 10th Amendment, meaning the federal government. Right? If it's anything other than that, Congress is not allowed to collect taxes for it, but they do every day. They're collecting trillions of dollars in taxes. They are borrowing trillions of dollars in debt on your name, on your good name, to give to the American people to buy votes. See, the problems with Washington don't originate in Washington. Lord Acton was correct. Power corrupts, absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. But the fact that we, the people, allowed the federal government to accumulate so much power is our fault. The fact that we let our states allow the federal government to accumulate so much power is our fault. The fact that so many of us, so many of our friends and family and neighbors were willing to allow them to collect power in exchange for money or programs or services or anything like that means that the problem is ours. It's our fault, which is why I believe the solution starts with us, with educating ourselves, because there's no way government's going to tell you what the limitations on government are. They're not incented to. And it's not that hard. Check out my online Constitution study. Go to constitutionstudy.com/study. Check it out. You can try it for free. Get the first three sessions where we cover the Bill of Rights absolutely free. Study the Constitution for yourself. As John Jay said, read and study the Constitution of this country. Let's teach the rising generation to be free. It's why I do so much work that I can with students. It's why I go to homeschool conferences. It's why I always try and find a way to do anything with students. It's why I volunteered year after year to my local public school to teach about the Constitution on Constitution Day. Let us do our job so that we can know when our rights are being violated and be prepared to defend and assert them. Now, before I go, please make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the news and happenings. It is more important than ever that we share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and the videos so that we can all help secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and for our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.